The Mishnah continues to discuss the laws of the Lechem Aponim, the 12 loaves of bread which were set up each Shabbos on the Shulchan. The stacked table which stood in the Heichal, which is the building inside the Beis HaMikdash. And as we have seen previously in this perek, the procedure was to place the 12 loaves of bread on the Shulchan on Shabbos. And together with those 12 loaves, to place 2 spoonfuls of levaina, frankincense, which is a substance which originates from the sap of a tree, and it dries up into granules, which are slightly acidic, and this levaina is burnt on the Mizbeach the following Shabbos, and only once the levaina has been burnt on the Mizbeach are the 12 loaves of bread split between the Kohanim who are serving in the Beis HaMikdash that week for them to be able to eat. And they have the rest of that day and night to eat those loaves of bread, after which the loaves of bread become noisar. Noisar is the term used to refer to karbonos, which have passed their time limit designated to be able to eat them. And we're going to see in this Mishnah that the time limit set for the loaves of bread is not dependent upon when the levaina, the frankincense, is burnt on the Mizbeach. And we say that the time limit is the rest of that day. Rather, the noisar is considered to be a week after the bread is originally placed on the shulchan. And what difference does that exactly make? We're going to see in the continuation of the Mishnah. Be as it may, the Mishnah says, Sirius Halechem b'Shabbos, if they set up the loaves of bread on the shulchan on Shabbos, Ves habozichim la'achar Shabbos. But they only placed the 2 spoons of levaina, frankincense, on the shulchan after Shabbos, on Sunday, let's say. And then, when it reached the next Shabbos, v'hikdos habozichim b'Shabbos, they burnt the spoons of frankincense on the Mizbeach on Shabbos. Says Mishnah Pasula, the lechem aponim, the loaves of bread, are considered to be invalid, because the bozichim were brought, they were burnt before the time that is fit for them to be burnt. In the same way as the time limit starts from when the loaves were placed there a week beforehand, the earliest time to burn the levaina on the Mizbeach is also defined based on when it was placed on the Shulchan. A week later, meaning on the Shabbos after the first Shabbos, that is the earliest and really the only time where one is able to burn the levaina on the Mizbeach. And here, the levaina was only on the Mizbeach since Sunday. It hasn't been on the Shulchan for a week yet. And therefore this is before the time fit to burn the levaina, in which case the burning of the levaina is invalid, and by extension, the lechem aponim are also invalidated, and they would not be able to be eaten by the kohanim. And since this entire carbon is considered to be invalidated, the ein chayavin aleihem shum pigul, the liability of pigul will not apply to it. Pigul is when one performs a part of the procedure of bringing a carbon with the intention that he's going to eat a part of the carbon beyond its time limit. In such a case, if somebody ends up eating that carbon, even within the time limit, after the intention was there to eat it beyond the time limit, that gives it a status of pigul. And if somebody eats it, he's liable to the punishment of koris, where he's cut off, so to speak, from Hashem. Now that punishment, that liability of pigul, only applies in a case where the carbon is valid. And as such, in this case where the carbon has been invalidated, one will not be liable to pigul if he eats the bread. On a similar note, noisar, the punishment of kores for eating the bread or eating a carbon beyond its time limit will also not apply to this, because that only applies to valid carbonos. And as well as that, in general, somebody who is tome, impure, if he eats a carbon, then he is also liable to the punishment of kores. However, that only applies to a valid carbon, and therefore the tome, the punishment of kores for somebody who is tomei, who eats a carbon, will not apply in this case, since the bread is invalid. Next scenario, sidres ha lechem ve'es habozichim b'Shabbos. If somebody set up both the 12 loaves of bread and the spoons of levaina on Shabbos, so far that is exactly what needs to be done. Ve'hikter habozichim l'achar Shabbos. But he burnt the levaina, the spoons of frankincense on the Mizbeach after Shabbos, meaning the next day or on one of the days during that week. Once again, that is too early. The bozichin, the spoons of levaina, need to be on the shulchan for a week, and only then can you burn them on the Mizbeach on the following Shabbos. And therefore, once again, posel, the lechem aponim, the bread, will be invalid, and because of that, vein chayavin aleihem shum pigul noisar v'tomei, one will not be liable to kores for violating pigul, noisar, or tomei. The third scenario is Sidres Halechem Ves Habozichim L'Achar Shabbos. if he set up the bread and the spoons of Levoina on the Shulchan Le'achar Shabbos, and a day after Shabbos, for example, a Sunday, this is different to the previous cases in that the entire setting up of the bread and the Levoina was totally invalid from the start. In general, if the bread is placed on the Shulchan on Shabbos, as it needs to be, at that point it becomes sanctified and gains a level of holiness such that the time for offering the bozichin and the bread begins from there. As we said in the introduction to this Mishnah, the time limit for eating the bread is based on when the bread was originally placed on the Shulchan. Because when the bread is placed on the Shulchan, it gains a level of sanctity, and that leads to the law, the requirement that the bread be eaten a week later. However, in this case, where the bread was placed there on a Sunday, placing the bread there in a way which is not supposed to be done doesn't sanctify it at all, such that no time limit is given. And because of that, it's true that v'hekdesh habozichin b'Shabbos posel, if he burns the spoons of frankincense on the following Shabbos, it will be invalid. However, over here, it won't become noisar the next day. In this case, we have a solution. Ketzad yaseh, how can you go about to solve the problem? Yanichen al Shabbos haba. You can leave it for the next Shabbos. The existence of the lechem aponim on the shulchan on Shabbos will sanctify it. And then once it comes to the next Shabbos, we'll be able to burn the levain or the frankincense on the mizbeach and eat the lechem aponim. Sha'afilu hi ala shulchan rabim, even if the bread is placed on the shulchan for many, many days, if it doesn't include a Shabbos, then it means nothing. The entire week, which is the time limit and also the beginning of the time given for burning the bozichin, that is started from the existence of the bread on the shulchan on Shabbos. Mishnah tests, although the laws of Yom Tov are almost identical to the laws of Shabbos, and the vast, vast majority of prohibitions and forbidden forms of work on Shabbos apply to Yom Tov as well, the Torah says that something which is for the sake of food preparation may be performed on Yom Tov, even though an identical act on Shabbos would be forbidden. However, the language which the Torah uses is that something which is for the sake of food, ye'oseh lochem, can be performed for you. And we learn from there that it is only permitted to perform these forms of work on Yom Tov for the sake of an individual. But if it's for the sake of a korban, which would otherwise be forbidden to bring on a Shabbos, it would also be forbidden on Yom Tov. That permission to do forms of work for the sake of food preparation on Yom Tov is only if it is for private use only. Begins the Mishnah, Shtei Alechem, the two loaves of bread which are brought on Shavuos, Ne'echolos in Pochas Mishnayim, are eaten never less than 2 days after they were baked. Well, that really means on the second day after they were baked, so the next day. V'lo yoser al shleisha, and they are never eaten past the third day after they are baked. Ketzad, what is the explanation of this? Ne'efes me'erev Yom Tov. In general, they would be baked on Erev Yom Tov, the day before Shavuos. V'ne'echolos be'Yom Tov, and they would be eaten on Shavuos itself, and that would be the case of Lishnayim, where they are eaten on the second day, the day following the baking of that bread. Chol Yom Tov li'es achar Shabbos. However, if Yom Tov fell after Shabbos, meaning Shavuos was on a Sunday, in that case they would bake the bread on Friday, which is 2 days before, in which case, ne'echolos l'shloisha, that would be the case where the loaves of bread end up being eaten on the third day after they were baked. You've got Friday, Shabbos, and then Sunday, that's considered to be the third day. On a similar note, lechem aponim, the 12 loaves of bread which are placed on the shulchan each Shabbos, ne'echol in pochis mitisha, they are eaten never earlier than the 9th day after they were baked, v'layoseh al-achadosar, and never past 11 days after they were baked. Ketzad, what is the explanation of this? Ne'efeh be'erev Shabbos v'ne'echol b'Shabbos. If they are baked on the day before Shabbos on a Friday, like in the general case, and then they are eaten on the following Shabbos, that is l'sisha, that's the 9th day after they were baked. Chol Yom Tov li'es erev Shabbos. But if a Yom Tov fell out on the Friday before the first Shabbos, then instead of baking the bread on Friday, they would have to bake it on Thursday, and therefore ne'echol asara, it would end up being eaten on the 10th day after the baking. If 2 days of Rosh Hashanah fell before the first Shabbos, that's the only Yom Tov which could be 2 days long, even in Eretz Yisrael. All of the other Yom Tovim are only 1 day Yom Tovim. But as it may, in that case, they would need to bake the bread on the Wednesday, in which case, Nechel Achadosar, It will be eaten on the 11th day after the baking, which is the following Shabbos. And the rule is, ve'ena doicha lo'es ha'Shabbos lo'es ha'es Yom Tov. The baking of the lechem aponim, as well as the shtei lechem, do not override the prohibition of baking on Shabbos or Yom Tov. As we explained, even Yom Tov, where one is generally able to bake, because it's for the sake of food preparation, that permission does not apply to korbanos. That having been said, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Hasagan, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Hasagan, Doiche es Yom Tov, it does override the prohibition of doing forms of work on Yom Tov. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel does not explain the psukim like the first opinion in this Mishnah does. And he understands that just like it's permitted to bake for an individual's use, so too it is permitted to do so for the sake of korbanos, for the sake of the bread, since at the end of the day that is going to be eaten. The Kohanim eat the bread and therefore it is permitted, ve'ena doiches yom tzoim, however it does not override the prohibition of performing work on Yom Kippur. If the Friday was Yom Kippur, then Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel agrees that it would need to be baked the day beforehand on the Thursday, because Yom Kippur is forbidden to do all of the forms of work which are forbidden on Shabbos. Even for a private use, it is forbidden to bake and do any forms of work on Yom Kippur, just like on Shabbos. Perigud Beis Mishnah Aleph. There are two different types of hekdesh which an item could be. Hekdesh refers to something which is designated for use of the Beis HaMikdash. And, for example, a korban is a sort of hekdesh. And a korban is considered to be kedushas haguf. It has intrinsic holiness and sanctification. And really anything which has been placed into a kli shoreis, into a utensil used within the service, also gains intrinsic holiness and sanctification, such that even if it becomes invalidated, one is not able to redeem it and transfer that sanctification onto something else, onto money which is worth the same amount, because the item is intrinsically holy. Now, having been said, there is one exception, that is a korban which is discovered to have a mum, a wound or a blemish, that can be redeemed, but in general, something which has intrinsic kedushas haguf cannot be redeemed even if it becomes invalidated. On the other hand, there is something known as kedushas domim, which is when something is designated to the Beis HaMikdash, but either the item itself is not going to be used as a korban, or it hasn't yet been placed into a utensil used for the service. The Mishnah will give a couple of examples. This is called kedushas domim, and that is when we look at it as not being intrinsically holy, the item itself, but rather the item's value is considered to be holy. Of course, if one cannot use the item itself for his own benefit, but because we only look at the value of the item being holy, one is able to redeem it onto money and transfer that sanctification onto money, and then you would be able to use that the flower or the item, whatever it is, for your own benefit. The Mishnah says, offerings of flour or the wine which is going to be poured onto the Mizbeach, once that is designated to the Beis HaMikdash, so it becomes Hekdash, however, it is only Kedushas Domim, it's not intrinsically holy, and therefore Shenitmo, if it becomes Tomei, if it becomes impure, actually Kichon Bakli, before it has been placed into a utensil designated for the service of the Beis HaMikdash, Yeshle and Pidjon, they are able to be redeemed, and that indeed is required, since it is Tomei, it cannot be used for the service, so it needs to be redeemed. And that money would be sanctified and need to be used for part of the service of the Beis HaMikdash. However, Mishikodj Bakli, if it became Tomei only after it was placed into a utensil, so now it already gained Kedushas Haguf, intrinsic holiness on the item itself, and therefore Ein Lahem Pidyon, it cannot be redeemed, and if it becomes invalid, then it would need to be burnt. Ha'oifus, a bird which has been designated as a korban, which becomes invalidated, v'ha'etzim, or wood which is designated for use on the Mizbeach, v'halavoyna, or frankincense, if that becomes invalidated, or tomei, if it becomes tomei, so in these two examples, with the wood and the levoyna, they are not able to become tomei. Not every item in the world can become tomei, only if it's considered to be a utensil or a food item, so these things cannot become tomei, and therefore they cannot be redeemed because in their current state they are fit to be used. And if an item which one of the utensils used in the Beis HaMikdash, if that becomes tomei, then also Elam Pidjain, it would not be able to be redeemed. This last example, the reason is because it can be purified. If you dip the utensil into a mikveh, it will become purified, and therefore it can still be used. So there is no reason to redeem it. And the reason why a bird korban, which becomes invalidated, or if it's discovered to have a wound, it cannot be redeemed, is because shelo ne'emar elo behema, the concept of redeeming in the Torah is only stated regarding a regular animal korban, but not regarding a bird korban, which is discovered to have a wound. Mishnah Beis. Earlier on in the Masechta, in Perek Hay, we saw two types of flower offerings which are very similar to each other. A Minchas Machavas and a Minchas Marcheshes, which are flour offerings which are fried and oil is added to them. Slightly different types of pans are used. And the Mishnah over here is going to show us that even though they are very similar, if one designated a Minchas Marcheshes, he's not able to bring it in a Machavas. And the same goes vice versa. One who states, I am accepting upon myself to bring a flour offering and to process it in a Machavas, in that sort of pan, but he went ahead and brought it in a marcheshes pan, or if he designated, he accepted upon himself to bring a flour offering in a marcheshes, but he brought it and processed it in a machvas, says the Mishnah, Masha Hevi Hevi, that which he brought, it's considered to be valid because we view it as if he is deciding to bring a new type of carbon. However, Videi Chavos LeYotze, he's not fulfilled his obligation of his vow since he just brought a different type of carbon. Now what happens if he doesn't only accept upon himself to bring a flour offering of a machavas, but he refers to specific flour, and he says, Zoi, this particular amount of flour, lahavi machavas, I'm accepting upon myself to bring in a machavas. And then he went ahead, vehiva marcheshes, and brought it in a marcheshes. But marcheshes, Rav said that I'll use this flour, and I'll process it in a marcheshes, vehiva machavas, but he went ahead and brought it in a machavas. So then harizei psula will be totally invalid, because here you can't say that he's bringing a different type of carbon. He explicitly said that he wants this to be used as that, and then he processes it in a different way, and therefore it's invalid. On a similar note, if somebody accepts upon himself to bring two esrenim of flour in one utensil, a flour offering needs to consist of at least one esrein. However, one is able to designate more than one esrein and bring it all as one mincha. The truth is, he can designate more than one esrein and then decide later on to offer it all in one utensil as one mincha, or you can offer it in multiple utensils, as long as each one contains an isarain, and then we would consider them to be separate parts of the menach, of the carbon mincha, separate carbonized mincha. But over here, he specified specifically that he's going to bring it in one utensil, the hevi b'shnei kelim, and then he went ahead and bought two isarainim, but in two different utensils, or b'shnei kelim, if he originally stated he would do it with two utensils, as two separate carbonis, the hevi echod, but he went ahead and brought it in one utensil, masha hevi hevi. That which he brought, the carbon is valid, because we look at it as a new designation of something else. But because he's processing it in a different way to that which he stated, he's not fulfilled his obligation of that which he designated, that which he vowed, because we view this as being different. However, if he says that these two esreinim, he points to specific ones, and he says that I'm going to bring those in one utensil, the hevi b'shnei kelim, and then he brought it in two different utensils, or b'shnei kelim, he says, I'll bring those specific ones in two utensils, maybe b'chli echad. But he brought it in one utensil, ha'ele p'sul, and they will be invalid, because over here, he's referring to those specific ones, and he processes them in the wrong way. Now what happens if we have the same scenario, ha'ele shnei esreinim lohavi b'chli echad, somebody states, I accept upon myself to bring two esreinim, and I'm going to bring it in one utensil. And what did he do? V'hei b'shnei kelim, he brought them in two utensils. But he hasn't yet processed them, he just put the flour into two different utensils. And at that point, omruloi, people said to him, Bichli echad adarta, you vowed to bring it in one utensil. And then he realized, oh, you're right, I made a mistake. V'ikriva bichli echad, and he bought them and offered them up using one utensil. Kesherim, it would be valid. And this is only because he unintentionally put it into two different utensils. If he on purpose put the flour into two different utensils, then already from that stage, as soon as he's done that, it would be invalid. However, since in this case it was done unintentionally, he's able to just return it into one utensil, and it would be valid. However, v'shnei kelim, if he continued to bring it in two different utensils, then in this case, pesulin, they would be invalid, and it wouldn't even be valid as a different carbon. Because here we can see clearly that he's not intending to bring a different carbon. He knows that he was supposed to bring this particular carbon, and when people told him that why you bring it in two different utensils, you're supposed to bring it in one utensil. If it's true that he's trying to bring a different carbon now, he should have told them. The fact that he kept silent implies that no, he's trying to actually fulfill his obligation of that which he designated, that which he vowed. And if that's the case, so he's changing from the details, and therefore it would be invalid. Now, if you have the opposite case, somebody states that he accepts upon himself to bring two esreinim, and he's going to bring it in two different utensils, And then he went ahead and put it into one utensil. Omrulai, people said to him, Bishne Kelim Nadarta, you vowed to bring it in two different utensils. So if Ikrim Mishne Kelim, he then put it into two utensils and brought it like that, Kasherim, it would be valid. However, Nesol Mechay Echad, if he continued to process it in the one utensil, then we view it as Kishne Menachas and Nisarvu, like two flour offerings which got mixed together. And in this case, if he's able to still take a Koimetz, take a handful of flour from each part separately, so they haven't got mixed together properly, so then it would still be valid. We look at it still as being two separate parts, but if it has been mixed together so much that one is not able to take a handful of flour from each one separately, then indeed this would be invalidated.